I want to welcome you to the Scrimmage Play Podcast. This is Bart Isley here with Ryan Yeaman, and we're here to talk. It's region playoff time. It's we got a ton of local schools that are competing for region playoffs. We've really got a shot at getting into that state mix. And today's Monday. A lot of schools that are going at it already today. Let's jump right into it. Let's start on the girls' side. The Charlottesville girls, the Western girls. Let's start with Charlottesville. They have to travel north.
Yeah, they got to head up to Freedom High, which is a bit of a hike up there in Northern Virginia. But that's where all the basketball is right now. For this region, always has been. Whether it's your Loudoun Valleys, Loudoun Counties,
yeah.
and Freedom, and these are tough outs. Charlottesville girls, they've had some ups and downs. But when you look at the games that they fell into, the JD opponents that they lost to. Those guys all advanced through their conference tournament for the most part. So you got to feel good with what you've got, competition-wise, depth-wise. But they need their two big guns to carry them, Ragland and McDonald. That'll be the key for them, obviously, going forward, is have them fill out the stat sheet.
Yeah, Elijah Ragland, Destiny McDonald, and they're always at their best when they get a little more from Zaniqua Thomas, too. Yeah. When Thomas is playing well, they're in really good shape. And their post players, there's like seven of them, a ton of different kids that kind of sub in there and fill their roles and play their roles the right way.
Yeah, and for Charlottesville, you're just looking for a night of quality shot selection because they have the shooters to do it. It's just making sure you take them the right time so you give yourself the best opportunity to have. Because this is a three-point shooting team. In a lot of ways. So you want to give yourself the best chance, shoot when open and don't try and force anything.
Kind of got into a bad situation here, honestly, because they're the Conference 23 champs and they've got a trap. And that's tough. I mean, they got matched up with a team with the same record. They lost a coin flip. Pretty brutal and tough to see.
In a perfect world, you feel like you would cut the distance in half. Could they play this game at like a Culpeper gym?
Yeah. That's a decent idea here. This is the Scrimmage Play Podcast out here solving problems here.
But if it makes sense, I don't think it'll happen. So,
yeah.
Tough break for the Charlottesville girls there.
So tough, but they're the Conference 23 champs. Very accomplished squad. They've done some really good things this year. And then you look at the Western girls. They're coming out of the toughest conference. Maybe not in America, but certainly in 3A girls basketball in the state of Virginia, the Conference 29, where Spotswood and Broadway and a whole bunch of other beasts are there.
You think about the years that Monticello was loaded and how hard it was for them to navigate this conference schedule. And then here you have Western that, I mean, they were just decimated for, it seemed like, two, 3 years in a row?
Just injuries on injuries on injuries.
Yeah. And this year they finally stayed healthy and they got through. They put it together. It's a young team.
Yeah.
But Ellery Hayden, a big part of the puzzle there for them. And
Hayden feels like every night, 15-9. It feels like she hits it. It's almost like she's set on that spot. 15 points, 9 boards every night. Kaufman has really emerged and she's kind of taken the next step as a point guard, really attacking off the dribble well. She's a dual threat. She can beat you by distributing and running the offense, or she can beat you off the dribble. She's a fearless shooter when she gets in the lane. And then you throw on top of that, Shannon Moore's done a really nice job underneath. She's pulling down a good amount of boards, not 10 or anything, but a solid amount of boards, and you know they're going to play defense every single time.
Yeah, and one of the things I've heard coaches bring up a couple times, more so in the spring sports than when it comes to basketball, but sometimes when you have a team that's going through this for the first time, this is Western's sort of first run in the region for a while, and this was, Western was a solid, solid team in 2010, 2011.
Yeah.
I think that was a Final Four year for them. This group of girls, they haven't gone through this, and that kind of helps you in a way because you're not necessarily, you don't know what to expect, so you just go out there and play. It's really all you know how to do. So you're kind of playing with house money. You just got there to go do your fundamental basketball thing and not to worry too much about it. You don't expect it. We've seen this in the conference games, crowds to be out of control.
Yeah.
The attendance has been light.
Yeah.
To put it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Saturday game with Charlottesville, the boys game, just not a ton of tickets sold at that one. And I think that's something that, that's a trend that seems to be developing, the conference. And that's probably part of why conferences are going to go away. I think that's why we're seeing that, and I think the district emphasis is going to be important. I think at this level, you want to see teams that are playing local teams that you aren't having to travel along the way.
Rivalries matter, and I feel like we haven't been able to build a great rivalry within any of these conferences. There's nothing too great
I think there's a lot of mutual respect.
Yeah.
And I think that, Spotswood and Broadway and those squads on the girls' side really respect it. And we know it's a tough conference, but, that hasn't necessarily translated to, big attendance numbers or anything like that.
Yeah. So Western heads down to Liberty Bedford.
Yeah.
And we'll see what they can put together.
If they win there, they would play at Hidden Valley, I believe, on Tuesday. So they've got a quick turnaround if they can get the win there. Impressive year from them. And they need one of those kind of role players to step up, I think, when it comes to the region tournament. The Matty Stars or someone along those lines that has got a chance to really kind of make a big impact.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look, the other conference that got a couple through, the Almore Girls and the Orange Girls, really solid. It's fun to see those two teams.
I mean, you got to give Orange credit to get through this because I don't think anybody pegged them as a region player.
A little bit of a rebuilding year for them after all the losses.
Lost so much last year. So for them to get through, this is a great experience for this group.
Yeah.
And they should really look forward to what they have ahead of them. This is sort of something to put your cap on. And then Albemarle, after all the injuries that they had, I don't think anybody expected them to get through to the region.
Yeah.
You lose your best defender, and Ann Ridenour, and then Hannah Iden gets hurt, and players getting sick. And
Ayanna Tyler Cooper just putting them on their back. Putting them on the back. She's playing really well.
And then the young kids stepping up for them. When we saw them the other night, Quinn Graves and company, McKenna Winterton. They've got a lot of young pieces for the future. So this, again, great experience for them because all those kids are really going to have to step up next year. I'm going to lose a good chunk of seniors.
And the Orange Girls, too, you got to give credit to the older kids on that team for keeping the squad focused.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been... they didn't turn in. They kept fighting and they keep, moving. And Lane Harrington and those kind of kids, I mean, Lane's been a big part of what they've done out there. And I think they got others, Aaron Ryder, those kind of kids that have stepped up and continue to step up. And it's exciting to see Orange, find a way. Just keep finding a way.
And for both those schools, they're stepping up to 5A play. And you never really know what that's going to look like.
That's right.
Come conference tournament, region tournament wise, because they're playing 4As and 3As. For the bulk of 2 months there, and so that's a credit to pretty much everybody in that district for keeping Orange and Albemarle competitively ready for this round of postseason play.
No question. The other team that got through, the Louisa County Girls, they win a conference title. Really big performance from them. It's been exciting to watch what they've been able to put together.
Yeah, this is a program with a lot of personal expectations. They wanted to see a lot from themselves. Coach Schreck, really sort of putting it on them responsibility-wise to take another step forward. Jefferson District Championship, Conference Championship, now you're in the region playoffs. I mean, not uncharted waters for the school, but just a real new look for this program that's had its struggles for a couple of years. I mean, the last time we saw them be able to compete at this level was the Javonique Burris freshman year.
For that brief blip in the pan.
Yeah, so you're talking about 2010. So this is very different territory for them, and they've done a great job, again, giving themselves the best position to go out and win an extra game.
When you're winning the first district title in 20 years, everything's uncharted waters.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be exciting to watch, but they were able to pull it off, win the conference title. Exciting to see, and now that sets the table for something special.
And I think you're going to see the Ty Skinners and Anna Ajiz that they're going to want to sort of revel in this limelight. This is their chance to really showcase what they've got talent wise.
Flipping over to the boys' side in the public schools, the Albemarle boys. We knew what they were bringing to the table. That's a state Final Four team.
If Albemarle didn't make it to the region, we all would have been
shocked.
Yeah.
And to see them in position, whether the Conference 16 champs, they get a chance, they're going to host the first round region game. They have put themselves in position to make another run.
Yeah, and they have to do all these little things early on.
Have to.
You can't lose that conference championship and hit the road. You got to make the road as easy as possible.
Because it's not going to be easy. All these teams are good. This 5A, the 5A North is a very difficult region to navigate, so it's exciting to see them put themselves in the right position.
Yeah, and the Albemarle coaching staff thinks that this group in 5A is deeper than it was last year. And mm-hmm. So we know how tough it was, what a battle it was for them last year. I mean, they've proven they can go to Hampton and win a game.
Look, if you can go to Hampton and win a game, which there are a lot of things you can do.
So, but yeah, this is a slightly different look in terms of the way Albemarle pushes the ball. I feel like they're just so much more aggressive this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've really sort of found a rhythm. end of the JD play, and then this conference, they just blew the doors off everybody.
I think that transition game looks good because Jake Hahn and Austin Catcher run the floor.
Yeah.
And I think when you have bigs who run the floor, that changes.
What's impressive about those two is that they don't pick up offensive fouls in the process.
No.
I mean, they're attacking the basket, and they're drawing blocks after blocks after blocks. It's just really impressive the way that they find a way to keep other people's feet moving.
So incredible body control. Yep. I mean, they just elevate and they move. We saw the big play in the fourth quarter against Patrick Henry Roanoke, where I think maybe Hahn made a huge outlet pass to Jaquan down on the other end. He gathers into the corner and feeds it back, because here comes the secondary break with Castra, and he just slams it down. I mean, that, to me, is the essence of this team this year. And I think you got to look at all these guys that are playing really well for him. Nile Arnold's playing really well.
Yeah.
You got Jaquan Anderson playing really well. Cartier Key just takes care of the ball as well as anyone could hope. Doesn't commit those kind of turnovers. And he runs the flow in transition really well. Has that sort of, you know, during peak UVA stuff, that London Perantis type influence where he controls the pace of the game. And I think that's fun to watch. And when you have pieces like Jake Hahn and Austin Catcher, and look out, Hahn could be due for a really explosive run here. I mean, he's doing all the little stuff.
I think you're going to see these seniors play with a chip on their shoulder.
They have been waiting for this moment
This is sort of the signature time to step up and put your name on it.
No question. So, Almar boys, obviously, they're in the right spot right now. Charlottesville boys, tough road right now.
But talk about a team that got hot when it mattered.
Yeah.
I mean, the wins over Western sort of propel them into this conference tournament, and they take care of business. Again, they have to hit the road.
Yeah.
Tough break for them, but wow.
Over there at Charlottesville, somebody pointed out to me, you feel like this is maybe a down year for Charlottesville, but they're like, they got 20 wins.
Yep.
They are, you know, and now in the region tournament, they got a region win over Sharando on Saturday. Like, you got to feel pretty good about the job that Mitch Miner's done over there.
I'm telling you, the calendar hits February, and Charlottesville just usually seems to find it. They always do this.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're surprised by it. but, yeah, I mean, Jalen Hudson just really going out there playing hard. I mean, what you like about Charlottesville is they can put – so if you're playing – against them and you're not familiar with their style, they put so much pressure on you. If they come out hot and they get excited and all of a sudden they've got a 10-point lead in the first couple minutes of a first quarter, it makes it tough the rest of the game. And they just keep pressuring you and pressuring you. I mean, the only team that will never need a shot clock is Charlottesville. Because they're going to run down the floor and they're going to take as many shots as they can in the game. It's almost like the way Chip Kelly ran a football team, you know, get as many possessions as you can.
And volume, volume, volume.
And put as much pressure on an opponent as
you can. And you can see it, like, they don't go super deep this year, but you can see Mitch Miner really pushing them to, like, hey, run it, run it, run it, run it. Because he knows that relentlessness can wear people down, and I think that then they become a matchup problem.
All it takes is one gun-shy guard on another team to have a game of the yips. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you've given yourself a huge advantage.
Yeah.
And teams that come out hot, Charlottesville is one of those teams, emotionally, when they're playing high, they're really tough to run with.
And you look beyond Jalen Hudson, you got Patrick out there on the wing hitting threes. You've got Sam Neal, who can knock down threes and also attack. He also rebounds really well for a guard. Emmanuel Wells.
That's the big thing for Charlottesville, too, is, I mean, because that team traditionally has just never had that center that just soaks up the boards. So if they don't get rebounding from their guards and their forwards, that's the hardest thing for them to deal with.
Khalil Vest even stepped up in that Sharando game.
Well, he has to.
Yeah, he is the post presence when it really comes down to it. And he stepped up, had a really big game. When they get that kind of balanced offense and it's happening at a million miles an hour,
mm-hmm.
it's really tough
to stop.
You never
know what happens, yep.
Absolutely. The other JD team that's through, the Western Almar boys, lose another heartbreaker in a Conference 29 championship to Spotswood. They've come out on the wrong end of some different calls here, you know, and I think that's made it a little bit tougher to swallow. But, you know, they've got better depth at this point in the year than they had earlier in the year. But really, you know, this comes down to Ryan Ingram. And it comes down to Ryan Ingram, it comes down to Chris McGarren, and it comes down to Josh Kaufman.
Yeah, I mean, with Ingram, he's sort of in the same boat as Kasser and Hahn. He's gonna have his impact on the game, and you
kept him in it against Spotswood late.
I mean, he's pretty much got the green light going forward. Any shot you want to take, go for it. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, he's that good.
They trust him. He's going to make the right decisions.
But, yeah, get what they got back with Chris McGarren coming back, I mean, he came out and just instantly started scoring for them. It seemed like there was no drop-off. And maybe this next week of play, those guys sort of elevate their game a little bit. But they've got the pieces. They've got Kaufman. They've got McGarren. They've got Ingram. Yeah. They've got a lot of different role players that they can use here and there. And we know this team can shoot. They can finish. For them, it's, I mean, simply keep making sure Ingram never gets in foul trouble.
Yeah. Which
and,
he won't.
No. And then basic defense. I mean, you got to be able to defend the three. Spotswood's a tough team.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. It's tough to keep losing to Spotswood, but that is the gold standard that you're being measured by. That's a really, really good squad. So frustrating to see that happen. But they've got to kind of hang in there, and they're going to get ready. I mean, they're going to get fired up. They're going to get things done. And they know what they were able to do in this region last year, and it starts with Hidden Valley on Tuesday night. They have to hit the road, and they're going to have to be road warriors probably throughout this thing.
Yeah, and I thought Western very much got everyone's best shot the way that Albemarle did. I thought Western was sort of even in that department. Mm-hmm. Way teams like Louisa County would come out and just like, just beat on them.
Charlottesville turned it on against Western, and they always.
So Western's been in these playoff atmosphere games for the better half of January going into February. So I think they'll be ready for this moment.
No question. So stepping out of the JD, you look two Bull Run teams getting through. They beat up on each other during the year. It's really close.
Those were the two best regular season basketball games I saw was Monroe at Madison and then Madison at Monroe, both games going at overtime. When they first met up, I think they both had one loss.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody sort of, in the Bull Run, the question was like, so are these two teams legit? Are they for real? And it turns out, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really good. And they do it in different ways. I mean, with Monroe, you've got Cameron McCain, who just very quietly putting together one of the better seasons at point guard that we've seen. I mean, he's so fast and he's
like
so
unselfish. Nine assists a game is nuts.
He had 18 the other night. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just he's distributing so well. And then they have just this great depth at power forward between Malik Shackelford and Anthony Terry. When those guys are rolling and they're finishing, Monroe just they've got a physical nature to them that I really like. In the playoffs.
Anthony Terry's a guy, and you throw in Jalen Anderson shooting on the wing.
Young kid who stepped up
attacking the basket.
Big for them, yep.
So good offensively. Really fun guy to watch.
And he is not shy. He will attack that basket, and he's been very good as a slasher for them.
Terry has that, to stay in the Madison-William Monroe rivalry, has that old-school Logan Terrell feel.
Yep.
He plays bigger than he is.
And a lot of offensive rebounds, putbacks. I mean, those things start to take a toll on another team when they're dealing with that. And he draws a lot of fouls. That's the one thing, if you're Monroe, you'd like to maybe try and shore up. I don't know. It's probably too late in the year to get much better as a free throw shooting team. But I know that's sort of been their struggles as of, in the close games that they played this year. If they can knock down free throws, it will do them a huge service going forward.
Big challenge for them with George Wythe. This is a tough region.
Yeah, and they knew that coming into the conference tournament that their region is all the Richmond schools. It's going to be rough. They've done their best to play a schedule to put them in position to.
And like Albemarle, they took care of business. They won the conference title, so they got what should be the better matchup when it really comes down to it.
So I mean, if they can win a game, this is a team stepping up to Region 3 play. Bull Run, not too many Region 3, Division 3.
Yeah.
So this is a big step for them. They win a game in this tournament. That's huge for this program. Brett Maynard in year two. Pretty impressive stuff.
And you got to give it already an impressive performance to win the Conference 28 title. James Monroe, man, really athletic team, really tough. They have a kid, the great kid, who's a freshman who can really play, shoot the lights out. At one point, he was just pulling a Jason Tatum, the Duke guy against UVA, and he just was knocking down first look threes, and he hit like four of them, I think, in the third. Mm-hmm. So when you survive that kind of onslaught, you still get the job done. You got to feel really good about what William Monroe did this year already. Mm-hmm. Now they kind of jump into a region where they get a chance to take it to another level.
Yep.
Madison County, also takes care of business, wins a conference title.
Yeah, rolled to it, and then they're already one win into their region tournament. So next game they play is for a state berth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a big win over Page. It looked a little dicey, not in terms of they were in trouble, but the game was close. In the second quarter there, they dealt with some foul trouble. And those are the kind of things you like to see from this Madison team. When Dre Twyman gets in foul trouble and Isaiah Breckenridge comes in and helps out defensively, Jamar Turner comes in and helps out defensively, those guys off the bench, can they step in for, you know, a four-year starter like Twyman? They did. Young kids like Kobe Alexander getting better and better as the season goes on. And then we're just, I mean, Isaiah Smith at this point is... he's just such a veteran. It seems like he never has an off game. So Madison's starting to get to that point. It seems like they don't... I just don't get the sense that they have the same pressure on them that was on that 2010 team.
They're playing a little looser.
Yeah, they just don't have that tension. They have to win every game. I mean, they want to win every game, but I just don't... It feels like they don't have any panic in them, and I think that's going to really help them going forward.
That starts with Smith, man. The guy just doesn't panic. He doesn't get freaked out. You know, I think it was the conference title game. He missed a free throw, and then immediately leaps to his right, gets to the sideline, and makes a save that kind of makes it happen. Like, a lot of guys would have sulked or gotten frustrated by continuing to miss free throws. He steps up and makes a play because he stays in that moment. He doesn't sort of freak out. You know, really just incredible poise.
Gaines Swinks has been he's been a revelation for them.
Yeah.
Young kid, confident shooter. I mean, he does not hesitate to pull up and shoot from outside. And between him and Elijah Lewis, they have a pair of shooters, like just good jump shooters. And that's huge. If they ever get hot, when they're both hot, I mean, forget it. Because Isaiah's going to attack the basket. Dre's going to attack the basket. You can't defend the entire floor when Madison has all their guys doing. That's what they force the defense to do.
So that wraps up Madison County. Now let's talk. You know, one thing that really stood out to you as you watched all this conference tournament stuff.
I mean, the surprising thing for me is I expect there to be some lopsided matches. I didn't expect almost all of them until you got to the conference championships to be such double-digit efforts. And we're talking games that weren't close in the first half. So that was a little disappointing. If you can't tell, I'm not a huge fan of conference realignment, at least when it's come to the other sports. Like, football has been a different story. I feel like it worked out better for that sport. But I haven't ever really gotten behind it in basketball. I like it even less in the spring.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's and this is why, because I feel like you've got a lot of teams playing postseason games. We've got maybe it's too big of a field, and then these games they're not particularly great games early on, and I don't think it's great for a bunch of teams to bow out of the playoffs by getting their heads kicked in.
No question. And for me, the thing that stood out was all these Jefferson District teams getting through.
Yeah,
it felt. A little bit during the year, because it's hard to compare things, but it felt a little bit like a down year. We had lost so many, you know, really good players. There were some clear pieces back, especially on the girls' side. And the boys' side, you had Ingram and you had Katstra and you had Han back. And that was a pretty good unit to build around. But to see Louise's girls, like, step up and make big plays. Well,
and here's the thing with the JD. You've got a young Fluvanna team that just missed out.
Yeah.
On going, you know, they played
going to the region, yeah.
And that team is loaded with freshmen.
And that's a team that got through that you don't necessarily... I mean, it's just is impressive to me. At one point, I think the district was like 10-2 across boys and girls games through the first... That's incredible and impressive. And that's excluding Powhatan, obviously. But the seven teams that we cover on a regular basis and get a chance to see. And I think it's just really impressive when you see the JD, you know, not a conference that anyone talks about is like one of those upper echelon basketball conferences, but they make each other better every game because the games are really intense. There's a lot of good rivalries. It seems like every Friday was a rivalry weekend.
Yeah, and particularly on the girls' side, I thought there was just a good balance, like just diverse teams.
Louisa was the four seed.
We saw every team beating every team.
Yeah.
So that's always a good sign. Obviously, if you're a coach, you want to win it all.
Right.
You'd like to be able to just run the table. But from a fan's perspective, like you said, every Friday night there was something being played for, you know, meaningful basketball games. And then even on the boys' side, with the way that Charlottesville came out at the end and really shook things up and pushed teams to the brink. I like what the Louisa boys did as well. And so those top four teams really pushed each other. That was a good thing going forward, because the boys' side has some massive rebuilding to do.
Yeah.
So we need new storylines. Louisa County, maybe they can provide one next year.
So that wraps it up for us on the Scrimmage Play Podcast. Thank you for sticking with us. And we're excited about covering all this regional basketball this week. And hopefully you check back in with us.